Welcome to SpaceX Daily, where we delve into the latest happenings in the world of SpaceX and beyond. Today, we're joined by space policy expert, Miles Booster. Miles, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Ava. Always a pleasure to talk shop.
Well, the shop talk today is quite interesting, to say the least. The EU is considering something unprecedented, calculating fines for X, formerly Twitter, based on the revenue of all of Elon Musk's companies, including SpaceX. This stems from potential violations of the EU's Digital Services Act, or DSA. What are your initial thoughts on this, Miles?
It's definitely a bold move by the EU, and I think it speaks to the evolving understanding of platform responsibility and corporate structures. The DSA itself is a landmark piece of legislation aiming to rein in big tech and protect users online. Now, whether it's fair to essentially pierce the corporate veil and hold Musk personally liable through his other ventures is a whole other debate.
Right, and the potential implications here are massive, especially for SpaceX. We're talking about a potential fine of up to 6% of combined global revenue, which could be astronomical, no pun intended. This isn't just about a social media platform anymore. It's about the potential financial stability of companies crucial to space exploration and technological advancement.
Absolutely. And this sets a precedent not just for the tech industry, but for any entrepreneur or business leader with a diverse portfolio. Imagine the chilling effect this could have on innovation if regulators start blurring the lines between separate entities based on common ownership. It raises questions about corporate autonomy, shareholder interests, and even basic fairness.
The EU argument seems to be that Musk exercises such control over these companies that they're essentially extensions of himself, making this approach justifiable. However, it's notable that they wouldn't include Tesla in this calculation because it's publicly traded.
That's a key distinction. It suggests that the EU is trying to find a balance, acknowledging the distinct nature of publicly traded companies with a broader shareholder base. But it also begs the question, where do they draw the line? How much control is too much control? This case could have far-reaching implications for corporate law and regulatory oversight.
So, Miles, shifting gears to a story that has everyone in the space community buzzing, and not in a good way. Boeing's Starliner has hit another major snag. NASA just announced they're grounding further Starliner missions for now and handing those 2025 crew flights over to SpaceX's Dragon capsule. What's your take on this latest development?
Well, Ava, it's hard to overstate how damaging this is for Boeing. This isn't just a delay, it's a vote of no confidence. Remember, NASA initially envisioned splitting those ISS crew missions equally between Boeing and SpaceX. Now, SpaceX is flying them all, and Boeing is left scrambling to prove their capsule is even safe for humans.
And the financial implications are staggering. Boeing's already sunk billions into Starliner, and with every delay and mishap, those losses mount. There's a very real possibility that after all this, they might only get one operational mission out of it.
Exactly. That $4.2 billion contract is starting to look like a very bad investment. And the irony is, this whole commercial crew program was supposed to be about fostering competition, driving innovation. Instead, it's exposed a stark capability gap between these two companies.
It's almost Shakespearean, isn't it? Boeing, this aerospace giant, brought low by a scrappy upstart like SpaceX. What message does this send to other companies looking to partner with NASA?
It underscores the need for both ambition and execution. SpaceX took risks, they stumbled along the way, but they delivered. Boeing, on the other hand, has been plagued by delays, technical glitches, and now this grounding. It raises serious questions about their internal processes, their risk management, their whole approach to human spaceflight.
Speaking of SpaceX, let's shift gears to a topic that's generating quite a bit of buzz lately, their environmental impact. Specifically, how much are those re-entering Starlink satellites polluting Earth's atmosphere?
It's a critical question, Ava, and a complex one. On the one hand, seeing those Starlink streaks across the sky is undeniably cool. But on the other hand, there's growing concern about the accumulation of aluminum oxide from these burn-ups in the upper atmosphere.
Right? And we're talking about a lot of satellites here. SpaceX already has thousands in orbit, with plans for tens of thousands more. That's a lot of potential aluminum ash.
Exactly. And while the current contribution of mega-constellation launches and re-entries to ozone depletion is relatively small, around 12%, it's the trajectory that's worrisome. As these constellations expand, so will their environmental footprint.
It's like the early days of plastic production. What seemed like a negligible amount then has ballooned into a major environmental crisis. Are we on the verge of a similar situation with satellite mega-constellations?
It's a real possibility. And the long-term effects of these emissions on the upper atmosphere are still not fully understood. We're entering uncharted territory, and the need for comprehensive research and responsible regulation is paramount.
And it's not just about the satellites themselves. We have to consider the rocket launches required to get them into orbit. While SpaceX's reusable Falcon 9s are a step in the right direction, they still use fuel and produce emissions.
Absolutely. And let's not forget about those Falcon upper stages. They might not be as visible as the returning boosters, but they too contribute to the debris problem and release aluminum oxide upon re-entry.
It seems we're facing a classic dilemma, balancing technological progress with environmental responsibility. How do we reap the benefits of these mega-constellations, global internet access, improved communication, without jeopardizing the very atmosphere we depend on?
That's the million-dollar question, Ava, and it's one that requires a multi-pronged approach. We need stricter international regulations on space debris mitigation, increased investment in sustainable rocket technologies, and perhaps even a reassessment of the sheer scale of these mega-constellation projects.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers. But one thing's for sure, as we venture further into the cosmos, we can't afford to ignore our responsibilities here on Earth. So, Miles, this Starship program, it seems to be a bit of a double-edged sword for NASA. On one hand, they're relying on SpaceX for a critical component of Artemis. On the other, it highlights the agency's struggles and SpaceX's growing dominance.
It's a fascinating dynamic, Ava. It's almost as if NASA has inadvertently created its own biggest competitor. By nurturing SpaceX through those early cargo and crew contracts, they've fueled the rise of a company that's now aiming for the stars, literally, and doing so with a speed and audacity that NASA can only dream of.
And let's not forget the cost comparison. That internal study that found NASA's in-house development of space station resupply would have been exponentially more expensive than SpaceX's solution. That speaks volumes.
It does. And it underscores the challenges that a legacy agency like NASA faces. They're often bogged down by bureaucracy, political pressures, and a risk-averse culture. SpaceX, on the other hand, is agile, innovative, and willing to push the boundaries, even if it means occasionally blowing up a rocket or two.
Which brings us to the elephant in the room, those ambitious timelines. Mr. Musk's green lights to Malibu approach, as that journalist called it, might work for short commutes, but can it really apply to something as complex as landing humans on the moon and eventually Mars?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? SpaceX's track record suggests that they consistently overpromise and underdeliver when it comes to deadlines. But they also have a knack for achieving the seemingly impossible. So, while I'm skeptical of their 2026 target for Artemis 3, I wouldn't completely rule it out. And if anyone can pull it off, it's probably them.
It's a high-stakes gamble, that's for sure. But imagine if they do succeed. SpaceX could very well beat NASA to Mars, leaving the agency in the awkward position of playing catch-up, again.
It's not inconceivable. And that's the real dilemma for NASA. Do they embrace this new era of public-private partnership, even if it means potentially ceding the spotlight? Or do they try to reclaim their position as the undisputed leader in space exploration, even if it means falling further behind?
And finally, let's talk about those warped fins on the Starship booster. I mean, it's not exactly a secret that SpaceX likes to push their hardware to the limit, but this feels like a whole new level of test to destruction.
Right? You've got to hand it to them. They certainly know how to put on a show. But seriously, seeing those steel fins warped like that after stage separation does make you wonder about their long-term viability, especially with the more aggressive hot staging maneuver.
Exactly. And it begs the question, why steel in the first place? I mean, they're using titanium for the Falcon 9's grid fins, so it's not like they're unfamiliar with the material.
Cost is probably a factor, at least initially. Steel is significantly cheaper than titanium, and remember, they weren't recovering the booster before. But now, with the tower catches becoming more routine, it makes you wonder if they'll make the switch for future flights.
It'll be fascinating to see what they do. On the one hand, sticking with steel could be a calculated risk. Maybe the damage is within acceptable parameters, and they're willing to tolerate a certain amount of wear and tear. On the other hand, switching to titanium could signal a shift towards greater reusability and longevity for the Starship program. Guess we'll have to wait and see what surprises Mr. Musk has in store for us next. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to SpaceX Daily.